You are Locked On Pelicans, your daily podcast on the New Orleans Pelicans, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Welcome to another edition of Locked On Pelicans, your daily podcast covering your favorite team, the New Orleans Pelicans, as part of the Locked On Podcast Network, available on iTunes and wherever you get your podcasts from. I'm your host, Jake Madison, at Nola Jake on Twitter, here with you all on this Friday, final day of podcast for the week. Sorry for the poor audio quality to start the week. We ended the week outright, just like the Pelicans hope to end this week outright after their three-game home winning streak was snapped the other night against the Toronto Raptors in that 125-116 loss that we covered in yesterday's edition of Locked On Pelicans. Well, we'll talk a little bit about the Denver game coming up tonight. The Pelicans are going to be on the road in a very tough place to play and playing a pretty good team, though, one that's still figuring themselves out a little bit. We'll touch on that, but I'm also going to have a guest on here, Jason Quigley, one of the writers for LockedOnPelicans.com, talking about Rondo and the turnovers. There's a really intriguing stat that he noticed in the Raptors game the other night that we need to look at a little bit deeper because it might tell us a little bit more about this team. So when he comes on, we are going to get right to it and dive right on in on Rajon Rondo, turnovers, and the rest of this New Orleans Pelicans team. And joining me now on Locked On Pelicans, I've got Jason Quigley here, one of the writers over at LockedOnPelicans.com, handpicked. I'm excited to have him here making his podcast debut with me here on Locked On Pelicans. Jason, thanks for taking a couple of minutes here.
Hey, thank you for having me.
No, I'm excited. I sent a message to everyone for LockedOnPelicans.com, and I was like, I need someone to talk. One, I just don't feel like talking that much today, so I'm going to make you do most of the work. Like a good boss, kind of. If I am a boss, I don't really know. You had a really good thing to talk about, so let's just kind of dive right into this. I talked on the podcast yesterday about how well Rondo played in that Raptors game and like the assist numbers and other things, but you noticed something else. And while the Pelicans had, 17 turnovers on the night, it was a little bit different with Rondo on the court.
It was a lot different. The first half he played, they only had 8 turnovers, but seven of those turnovers happened when he wasn't even on the court. When Rondo was on the court, I think it was 14 minutes, the Pelicans only committed one turnover, and that was by Rondo himself. DeMarcus Cousins only had 2 in the first half, and that was when Rondo was off. He had 6 for the game, but that was just astounding when I figured that out. That was like, you could really tell, like, when we actually have a ball handle on the floor, the ball handling gets better. The ball actually stays in our possession. And that was just, I was shocked.
No, I mean, it's really interesting to see because you figure point guards and guys like that do turn the ball over, especially with more ball movement in this Pelicans offense. But one, and it being caused by him is great because that means Holiday, had 0 turnovers in the game. And then 0. The bigger thing is the main culprit of turnovers for this Pelicans team is Cousins. Right. And he had 0 in the 14 minutes or something like that Rondo was out there. Yep. So what do you think kind of changed with Rondo out on the court?
Well, usually with Rondo out, Holiday and Cousins have had to handle the ball more, make more plays, and like – Cousins has become the playmaker, like the second or first option on the playmaking, but he hasn't been good when he's had to initiate the offense and when the ball has been taken out of his hands a little more. So he's not having to make as many decisions like catching the ball at the 3-point line and then driving and losing the ball like he does so many times. And it was just interesting to see that like 0 turnovers, that's such a good number. Well, for both of them.
It goes to show you how kind of good this team can be, and we'll touch on that in the second half of this here. But you make the right point that it's okay, Cousins can kind of just be this big that goes out and wants to score. I think like it seems like almost part of the issue with this Pelicans team is guys are trying to do too much. Cousins has to do those kind of those bull barreling drives from the 3-point line because there's no one else to kind of create.
They have to make the plays because they don't have any playmakers on the floor. They haven't had. And like Jameer Nelson was the savior of the team in the first 2 wins, I think, because there was literally no point guard on the roster that was healthy. And so, yeah, Holiday, Cousins, they've had to do that, and now they don't have to, and they could show off their other what they're actually good at in scoring and defense.
No, exactly that. And Cousins can now kind of get put in more advantageous situations. And we saw, you said he had two in the first half, and the second half is where those other four came from.
Right.
And that's when I got text messages from people being like, we hate Cousins, which is a little wild, but... You know, it does get frustrating seeing him trying to almost try and put this team on his back at times. And he does a very good job of doing that, but it also leads to kind of some, not bonehead plays, but just, I guess, collateral damage is maybe the word with asking him to play like that.
Well, it's him and Holiday have had the problem of trying to do too much, trying to carry the team on their backs. And that's led to maybe some, trying to do too much. And that's what's causing the tone nervous. That's what's calling. When I wrote an article on Drew Holiday on Tuesday, I said he was probably trying to be too aggressive and like that would maybe force some shots, stupid decisions. And we're probably going to see less of that now, thankfully.
I think anything that makes him look a little bit better is certainly a good thing. You would see, though, how just again, when he gets focused on trying to score and keeps his eyes on the rim and not kind of looking for teammates, it makes a
world
hard to of
stop.
Difference. He had a couple of plays in the Toronto game where he was just, I'm getting to the block, I'm going to post up whoever's down there, and I'm just going to score that way, and he did it just on multiple times.
It's really hard to stop him when he's like when he's not focused. It's kind of like Holiday when he's not focused on passing the ball off or making some other kind of play. If he's just going to take it to the rim, it's hard, almost harder than LeBron on a fast break. It's really hard to stop.
Well, I was talking about Holiday there, but I mean, it goes doubly so for Cousins where, okay, you can put him in a more advantageous situation. I had Coach Nick of B-ball breakdown with me last year talking about Cousins. And one thing he noticed was how fewer times per game Cousins is down low. And it's more him shooting threes and initiating the offense from up top. When down low and playing in the post is where he does some of his best work and his some of his most efficient scoring. Now it seems like he might actually be able to go kind of increase that load a little bit there.
He should be able to now that some of the like when he would bring the ball up the floor, he was often on the 3-point line and he'd have to initiate the offense from there. Now with Rondo doing that, he should at least be able to spend more time in the paint. But yeah, going back to Holiday, you I thought you were talking about Cousins, but Holiday too. He's when he looks at the rim and nothing else, he's hard to stop too. That's really surprising.
No, and we're going to talk about this in a minute here, probably after I do a reset in a moment, but it shows up and you can see it and the numbers are really good and they can get even better, which is what's kind of the wild thing about it is this team looks like it can be very, very good, scary good at times if they get everyone playing well. And, you know, it's as weird as it is and it's 2017, Rajon Rondo should not be like the key to anything at this point, but he's about to be. So today, whenever you're listening to this, I've told everyone, I've said it multiple times, recording this the day before literally throws off my week for trying to like live in the future for however long it takes to record. But we're going to have our question of the week up there at LockedOnPelicans.com. And it's going to be about Rondo and his increased role and what areas are going to be impacted. One thing that jumped out to me, and I want to see if you saw this, was he kind of really helped out Dante Cunningham and almost made Cunningham maybe a viable starter? Or am I crazy for thinking this?
No, I think I tweeted out pretty much the same thing you did about 7 minutes later because I didn't see yours. Basically that Rondo's
it's
the savior.
Okay.
Because,
no one thinks you're no one rips me off. Don't worry.
But yeah, Rondo's the savior because he actually made Cunningham look decent. Like
2 points. That's great. Like that's not even anything to get really excited about, and I'm irrationally excited about Dante Cunningham scoring 10 points with Rondo on the court.
Well, when you have like even that 10 points, because we've seen Davis and Cousins average almost 70 for most of the games this season together, and then if just two other players can score, 10 or 15, that's all you need. And so I don't think it's irrational to get excited about that. But Dante made a three. He made some putback buckets.
It wasn't even the three. He went 1 of 5 for threes on
right.
So like that
he made
was still
a three.
Terrible. Yeah, he made a singular 3-pointer. But the biggest thing was He made one. If you told me he made one three and scored 10 points, I'd be like, I don't know what the hell's going on or how this happened. But you could see him moving off ball way more just because of that dribble penetration from Rondo breaks down the defenses a little bit and gets him turned. And then Dante was cutting and getting the ball and scoring that way. And that's not really something he's done a lot of this year. Like, if he doesn't hit a three or two, he has like 0 points in the game.
Pretty much. But the whole team, I think, was cutting more, passing the ball more. I know there were a few plays, one in particular where there are a few passes led to an AD dunk. I don't want to call it like the Lonzo effect with Rondo, but that's, I think it actually did help the ball movement.
Oh, it was, you could tell how much better it was just in general. It's like night and, it's not even night and day because this team already had pretty good ball movement at times. It's not consistently, but it takes it to another level. And then speaking of that, let's do a reset quickly here. So we're talking about Rondo and his impact and the lack of turnovers when he's on the court, making other guys better. So check out LockedOnPelicans.com today for the question of the week, which is, as Rondo slowly increases his role for the Pelicans, what's one area that we think are going to be impacted? And all the writers are taking different things. So make sure you check that out at LockedOnPelicans.com. Okay, so going back to kind of the impact he can make and raising this team up, I'm going to give you some numbers here that are kind of mind-blowing. I hadn't looked at the lineup data a lot yet because, frankly, it's still so early on in the season. It can be kind of noisy and tough to make sense of. But when you look at Cousins and Davis in a two-man lineup, they have an offensive rating of 108, which would put them just by themselves at 6th in the league. A defensive rating of 99.7, under 100, wow, which puts them at 4th best in the league. And a net rating of 8.2, which is, by the way, where is it? 2nd best in the league. And now you're going to add someone who's going to make these guys even better. That's huge, right?
That is huge. And I think what's underrated is the defensive aspect of it because, you know, to have a defensive rating under 100, that's not obviously happening often with teams shooting as much as they are and scoring as much as they are.
League-wide right now, there's 4 teams that are 100 or less.
Yeah, that's not much.
No, that's good.
And the starters for the Pelicans, I know a lot of people were posting with, like, you know, 4 games completed that they were one of the top 5-man lineups. But even more so now, I think that the defense, like, obviously they're a long, athletic group. And now with the offense being even better, leads to more defense. It's weird. It's, again, you said it earlier with Rondo, you don't expect him to contribute this much this late in his career, but it's really changing the entire team. And then something else I want to point out, Tony Allen too, who should be coming back tonight in tonight's game if we're talking about Friday.
That was good. You got this down already. First podcast and he gets it.
But the defense was awful in a word on Wednesday, but that should, like, it's weird that Tony Allen's helping out that much, but the defense should be better on Friday night.
He's even scoring, which is kind of wild to me. And yeah. It shouldn't be because this is a guy who averaged, what, like almost 10 points a game last year. Like, he can, 12, he can score. Yeah, like, the dude can get some numbers.
And, you know, not to plug another thing I wrote, but I wrote about the veteran team and how, you know, there were four players with 10 or more years experience. Now we don't have Josh Smith anymore, but that didn't really matter much anyway. But what I was trying to argue with Allen is that he just, like, he scores because he knows what to do in, like, basketball situations. It's kind of like the Spurs. I think it was Zach Lowe who said that, you know, they may not be as athletic or talented as other teams, but they know what to do in basketball situations and they know how to make basketball plays. And that's what Tony Allen does. And so you see him often in the fourth quarter just kind of giving the team a boost when they're stagnant, kind of like what happened in the Raptors game. You could see he was missed, and Rondo obviously was missed too, because both of them know, they're veterans who know how to make basketball plays. And yeah, that was missed.
So let me ask you this then, if you're talking about the importance of these guys, and I agree, Rondo more than Allen, but Allen's had an impact. Does this make you more or less nervous for this offseason with both of them being on 1-year deals and you know, I think Allen's probably not going to be back next year.
Probably not.
And then Rondo, depending on how well he plays, might command a much larger deal than the, what, like 3.3 he's on this season, 3.6. And if, assuming everything goes well, the Pels re-sign Cousins, that's not, that's a lot of money to, you know, to put in on one guy here for a team that's like basically capped out.
Will he command more money though? I was thinking about this earlier, like not even knowing that you would talk about this today, but it was, I don't know if he would command much more because, you know, he still has the league-wide reputation of being kind of volatile and not getting along with coaches and being a locker room something or other. And I, like, as much as, you know, we see him as all the positives, maybe not all the positives, but I don't know if he's going to, like, kind of like Dante Cunningham last season shooting 39%, ended up with almost a minimum contract. Rondo, especially late in his years, I don't know if he it gets more money. I think he could maybe sign another one-year deal because he likes playing with Cousins.
That's probably ideal, hopefully.
Yeah, for us, I mean, that would be nice. But
no, I get what you're saying. I mean, especially if the money is not likely to be there as well this coming off season, which it really shouldn't be. Like, there's going to be less money than there was this past year.
And they're bigger players.
That's going to freeze a ton of – yeah, there's better players out there. That's going to freeze a ton of guys out. Mm-hmm. And we saw a number of people go to China. Like, Donatas Mata-Yunus should probably be in the league on a team somewhere, and they just ran out of money to pay this – decent NBA, maybe not decent, but like guy who can play in the NBA.
Well, Terrence Jones too. He was, didn't he sign the largest contract over there, or was that someone else?
I don't remember. Like, I'm, I have so many. Like, I have like four spreadsheets when it comes to the NBA and the Pelicans for like salary cap stuff. Do not need one for the Chinese league. But no, there's like a number of guys who are over there that could you know, Terrence Jones after he was cut from New Orleans, and there's a lot more to that story than's been reported, but you know, kind of fell off the, not fell off the face of the earth, but really what, he went to the Bucks?
Yeah.
And like never played for him, which was really odd because he wanted to leave to go to a place where he could play, and the Pelicans cut him to kind of grant that, and then he picks a team that doesn't play him at all.
And was in the playoffs too, so he probably wanted to do that. But yeah, that's surprising. I mean, I guess because they're already a long team, and they didn't really. Maybe it was just like a healthy body.
That's one of those things that kind of struck me as very odd. Just like random aside last season, that made very little sense. Was this dude who can play in the NBA? Clearly, I mean, he carried the Pels to a win over the Cavs without Anthony Davis, and you know, which it, that was a good win last
year. So many weird highlights from that game.
The Pels had the weirdest thing. So, like, you know, they beat the Cavs this year in something that's not horribly surprising anymore, I guess. And then the letdown game coming in, what, against Orlando was the most, like, telegraphed thing I think you could, like, ever have expected. It happened last year, too. They get this surprise win over the Cavs with Jones. And then they lose by, like, 30 to the Nets at home two nights later.
Yeah, that we don't talk about that game.
there's probably a lot to like with this team. There's probably a lot of games just to never talk about.
Yeah, well,
do you talk about the playoff game against the Warriors, the 20-point comeback or 20-point blown lead? I guess
I thought you were
really
gonna say the Nuggets game.
Oh, that was coming next.
Okay, so, of course.
So, like I said, like a shocking amount of games. In their shortish history, it's like we don't
talk
about like,
this. I'm not really even let down by these games anymore because, like, the Raptors game on Wednesday, it was a game they probably should have won. They were on the, third road game?
Something like that, and they'd played the night before in
Houston. And the Pelicans had a rest advantage, and it was just awful. And, I mean, the second half, like, the first half was good, but... But it's like I wasn't even let down anymore. I was like, okay, yeah, I could see that.
This is what this team does, though, right?
Right.
And, like, you can't shake that from them. Like, this is what they do, and eventually maybe they'll stop. But we're not going to start thinking they're going to stop doing this until they go out and, you know, do it.
Here we go. Bringing back in the veterans for a second. Rondo's coming back. He only played 14 minutes last night. He has expected, 20 to 24 minutes on tonight?
No. I didn't see. Did you see that somewhere?
Yeah.
I saw him, and I've been running around like crazy the past 2 weeks, and I'm literally losing track of days, not just from the podcast. But I last thing I saw with that, and this is probably good we're talking about it, was that he said he wasn't really expecting a big increase in minutes.
Let me find that real quick.
There's like two people to check that will have like the answer on Twitter for this.
Yeah, it was Jim Eichenhofer, Pelicans.com, tweeted at 2 p.m. on Thursday that Alvin Gentry said Rajon Rondo's minutes will likely increase to 20 to 24 at Denver on Friday.
That's great. Okay.
So going back to the veterans, I'm thinking that Rondo will maybe, like, you know how we thought of Jameer Nelson as the calm and steady pace keeper kind of the team. Rondo should help that even more as he's actually starting and should have a bigger leadership voice on the team. It's the biggest problem with this team the last few years, last 5 years, has been inconsistency. As we talked about game to game, you know, they could beat the Cavs and then lose to Nets by 30. I don't think that should happen as much with Rondo actually being able to play and just coach instead of just coaching on the sidelines.
Well,
I hope that.
Let's talk about that in 1 second here. So last reset of the podcast here before we talk about Rondo. This is like Rajon Rondo week. Make sure you check out, because I was on it, the Locked On NBA podcast, the national one. Just catch up on everything you need to know around the league. It's once a week. Get the local story, the biggest stories with the local angles. That's the tagline over at the Locked On NBA podcast. Okay, so you had said Rondo's impact might make this team a little bit more consistent. And I don't disagree, because if he can get you all of a sudden 10 points from Cunningham, that's really big and goes a long way actually somehow towards adding consistency. Let me give you these numbers. We talked about the two-man lineup before. I'm going to give you a three-man lineup of Cousins, Davis, Holiday. An offensive rating of 106.2, which, as I pull up my handy rankings, puts them eighth best. Nope, that's incorrect. They would then be 11th best in the league, so it drops. But the defensive rating drops to 97.4, which would make them the second best defense in the league. And then it gives them a net rating of 8.8, which is good for second in the league, well behind the Warriors, who are crushing everyone in this category. And that lineup also rebounds defensively 82% of opponents' misses. So really good. Rondo's going to make that lineup even better.
He should. I think that's another thing people forget about is the defense, like, not just, you know, being athletic and, you know, being able to guard people on defense, but talking on defense, coaching, like, he's an on-court coach. And that's like, I think Drew Holiday came out with a quote today on Thursday about just being
screwed
able
it
to
up there.
Yeah.
recording the day before.
Can't get them all right. But Drew Holiday said that Rondo was telling him what to do, basically, not just on offense, but on defense, telling him where to go, where to guard. And that should help the defense even more. We see that defensive rating, but it should, as hard as that is to believe from the Pelicans, that should even get better.
Yeah, and then if they can find a way to get each one more in there a little bit more, I think, with the starters, because he got kind of displaced and had a pretty bad game. I really think because of, you know, being kicked to the bench and not having the spacing that he's used to with those bigs, if they can get him out there too, like, the starting lineup is going to be able to compete with almost anyone in the league. And if they can find a rotation that works and maximizes everyone, you know, I was on the Locked On Raptors podcast the other day previewing the game really quickly, and he was asking me how my thoughts on this team have changed. You know, I had their, like, best case scenario, if, you know, not counting for injuries, everything breaking well, you know, them as maybe like the sixth seed or the seventh seed in the Western Conference. I think their overall ceiling is way higher than that. Like, I could see them potentially being like 4 or 5.
Oh, absolutely.
If, like, they start clicking and firing.
And I think the clicking and firing is important because I don't want to make excuses with injuries again, because we do this every season, but it's hard to get in a rhythm when you're having to change out your starting lineups and your rotations every single game. You know, Etuan Moore, you mentioned, was not really feeling himself on Wednesday night. And that's because, like, you know, he's been starting all this entire season and he's been playing with the starters. And I think, you know, you said his numbers went down without playing with the bigs and getting their spacing. But also just being in that rhythm, I think, is because, you know, NBA players are creatures of habit, and it's, you know, Rondo coming back, that'll help the starters, but it can hurt other players. And so as the season goes on, I think once they develop that rhythm, I'm with you. I think they could be maybe a fourth seed.
That's in like a best case scenario. Yeah. So not like necessarily, I'm not saying they're going to finish fourth. I don't think you're saying that either, but it's like,
no,
their ceiling is significantly higher than I thought it was. Like, this team is better when they're at their best than I thought they were going
to
be.
Right. I think that because of the inconsistency, they're not going to finish with the record to get there, but they're going to play like a fourth seed sometimes when they're at their best.
Yeah, that's absolutely a good way of putting it, maybe. Like, they look like, you know, maybe they're somewhere, they're the fourth best team in the Western Conference, even though they're not going to, or likely aren't going to end up there. I think the Thunder eventually kind of put this together because they have a ton of talent, too. So, game tonight in Denver, not an easy place to play whatsoever.
Never.
You know, do you think they can win this one, or is this just, okay, we're going to punt this one on the road, come back home, and try and take care of business?
Well, the next, what, 8 games are horribly difficult, besides, like, one against the Suns, I think.
This is why when people are like, well, a win's a win. If they keep beating teams they're supposed to beat, they're going to make the playoffs. No, because you're going to hit a really tough stretch of schedule like they are now. And Jim Eichenhofer and I were talking about it on Twitter, where he basically said, like, if you want to make the playoffs, you're going to have to beat teams like Denver, Portland, OKC, and all of these. Because, frankly, they're just coming up on the schedule next.
Mm-hmm. But they haven't beaten them yet. And
no,
that's,
it's a concern. Like, they don't have a win over a team with a then-winning record or above 500. Like, that Cavs win doesn't look as good.
No, not at all.
And to not have beaten, like, a top-tier team, and then some of those wins against not-great teams like Atlanta and other things are struggle wins, and you play like that against a better team, you're not going to win, Frank. It's as simple as that. We saw it against Toronto. This is what happens.
Right, and it's like the first half against Toronto, they were playing pretty well, except for, you know, defense a little bit, but the defense held up pretty well, but it was still really close game at the end of the first half. And then, you know, if they, the margin for error is just so small that with the way they play and the turnovers, and that's, I'm concerned because they haven't beaten a winning team, but I think that'll change, but I don't know. I will wait and see.
Yeah, I know. This is why I want to reserve judgment for thinking how good this Pelicans team is going to end up being, because as Scott Kushner with the Advocate's been saying, we really just don't know yet. Like, there's as many questions right now, they're 8-7, so 15 games into the season, as there were on day one. I think the one question that's kind of been put to bed is, Davis and Cousins can coexist and get their numbers, and this team can get some W's, and they're not losing to horrible teams. But overall, there's still tons of question marks hanging over the Pelicans.
And it's the rest of the roster. You know, we figured out Davis and Cousins. That was at least the biggest question mark, is if they can coexist. And I think that's been proven. We could say that.
I think that's, like, very safe to say.
Okay. It's just, yeah, it's the rest of the roster now, which I think, again, as they get into a rhythm this season, which should happen probably in about 10, 15 games. I hope it doesn't take that long. But, you know, as the team gets to play together more, figure things out, I think they should figure it out. Maybe not, you know, playing as consistently as we want them to, but I don't know. We'll see.
Yeah, we're going to find out, and we will find out tonight as the Pelicans are in Denver. Tough place to play. Jason, thank you so much for coming on, talking some Pelicans with me. Make sure you
thank
all give them a follow. Jason, throw your Twitter handle out there.
My Twitter handle is at Jason Quiggs. You see it all the time. I probably reply to you at some point.
You're on there all the time talking, which is awesome.
Yeah. I try to be active in the community. You know, we have a good community most of the time. I think we're a smart community. I'm trying to make us smarter.
There you go. That's a good way to put it. So make sure you follow him. It's at Jason Quiggs. So again, Jason, thank you very much. So that's going to do it for this edition and this week's worth of podcasts here at Locked On Pelicans. Don't forget game tonight against the Denver Nuggets on ESPN. Make sure you watch it. We'll be back on Monday to recap that game for you, as well as talk about the Oklahoma City Thunder coming to town. And if I'm lucky, and I hope I'm going to be lucky, I'm going to see former podcast host Brett Dawson, who will be in town, and maybe we'll grab a quick interview with him to throw in the podcast on Monday, maybe live from a bar, because that sounds like it would be fun. So thank you all for listening. As always, I'm your host, Jake Madison, at Nola Jake on Twitter. Don't forget the live New Orleans Basketball Social Club at the New Movement Theater Tuesday at 7 p.m. It's going to be a great time. We're going to have a lot of fun out there talking some hoops, recording the podcast. So make sure you come on out and learn and ask as much as you want about the New Orleans Pelicans. I'm your host, Jake Madison, at Nola Jake on Twitter. Thank you all for listening. I'll be back with you all on Monday.